I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of our radio program. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Right now, we'll recap the NBA trade deadline. Also chat a little Leon Rose as well with the former NBA executive. Did play at Duke, and now he's a contributor for NBA TV and also works on the WIP Morning Show in Philadelphia, and that's Billy King here with us. Billy, how you been?
I've been good. And yourself?
Well, doing fantastic. So I was actually once an intern for Angelo Cataldi. How are those early morning wake-ups treating you?
Well, fortunately, it's one day a week, so it's not too bad. But getting up at 3:30, I don't know how they do it every day, but it's not too bad.
Have you been there for a Del Frisco's day? That was the best day when I was an intern, and like once a month they would have Del Frisco's catered in at about 4:35 in the morning. You get some lobster mac and cheese, a little filet mignon. Those are the best days.
No, I have to talk to Angelo and Rhea about that.
It's a bad job. You got to be there for a Del Frisco day, Billy. You got to have I know there's load management in the NBA. You're only there for a day. You got to make sure that you're managing your time better and actually being there when they do a Del Frisco's drop.
Actually, I'm just getting the tasty cakes. That's it.
That's right. They're in the Tasty Cake Studios. And, when I was a little bit heavier, that was probably a big reason because I would devour all those tasty cakes. All right. Billy King, let's get to some of the moves that were made today. I'll start you off with the Golden State Warriors and the Timberwolves. The Warriors get Andrew Wiggins and the Timberwolves get D'Angelo Russell, other parts of that trade as well. Big picture, though, I know it's not for this year really with the Warriors, but what do you think about the state of the Warriors moving forward into next year?
Well, I think what they did, they got D'Angelo Russell, signed him for the asset value, and they were able to turn him into, get some picks and take a chance. And look at Wiggins. I mean, he's been in Minnesota. It hasn't really clicked. And it'll be interesting to see what he's out there playing now. Steph will come back in a month. You have Draymond Green. What he can do, because I think he hasn't lived up to it, but change of scenery may be good for him.
And I would have to imagine with D'Angelo Russell, we know he's a good player, but when you have Steph and Clay on a team moving forward, just probably not enough basketballs, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was not, when all those guys were back, he wasn't going to be, if he was going to get traded at this deadline or this summer, he wouldn't be, I don't think he would have been on the roster starting the next season.
Another move that stood out to me, the Clippers landing Marcus Morris. I love this move, Billy, for the Clippers.
It's a great move for them because it gives them some toughness, a guy that can shoot the three, can score, come off the bench. They have a lot of depth, but also now if Paul George has to sit or Kawhi, you got a veteran guy that can step up. He's not at their level offensively, but he is a veteran guy that can still give them some scoring. But I think it's great for the playoffs to have a guy like that.
What do you think the difference is going to be between the Lakers and the Clippers in the playoffs?
I think it's going to come down how healthy both teams are. How healthy is Paul George and Kawhi going to be? How healthy is LeBron and Anthony Davis going to be? And then if they're all healthy, then I think it comes down to guys like Lou Williams coming off the bench. I think overall the Clippers bench guys and a guy like Lou Williams, because he can take over a game and win a series for them. So I think it's going to come down to the bench, and I do like the Clippers bench better. But right now I think the Lakers are better just because the Clippers have not been healthy.
Former NBA general manager Billy King here with us. Miami's been a surprise team to me this year. I know they got Jimmy Butler in the offseason. Now they have Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder as well. At this point of his career, what does Iguodala bring the Heat?
He gives them another ball handler. Right now, Jimmy does a lot of the ball handling for them. And now you have another guy that can handle the ball and allow Jimmy to post up. But it also gives them a guy that can play great defense. I drafted him here in Philadelphia, and, he wasn't known as a shooter. But what he did, he rebounded, got assists, played great defense from day one. His body's going to be fresh because he hasn't played. He missed 50 games, so he's got a fresh body. But it gives him a guy, especially in the playoffs, that knows how to win. He's won a championship, and you can't teach that.
Is there concern since he's missed this entire season so far, you know, how much he has left in his, you know, in the tank being 36?
Well, no, knowing Andre, he does a great job of keeping himself in shape. So I know he's going to be in great shape. Now, basketball shape will be a little different, but they've got 30-something games. And one of the most underrated organizations of taking care of getting people's bodies and getting them in shape is Miami. And I think by give them a month, and they'll have them ready to go.
So we know the Bucks are the preeminent team in the Eastern Conference, as Billy King is my guess. Who do you think the second-best team is right now in the East after the trade deadline?
Well, I mean, I like the way Toronto has played. I like the way Boston has played. But if with this trade, I would put Miami maybe up there to second best, just for the fact that having Andre Iguodala, but you know, Jay Crowder is another veteran guy, and he's physical, and it fits Miami. I just like the way they've been playing all year, and now they've got some veteran guys. So some of the young guys who aren't tested in the playoffs, you don't have to rely on as much to make big plays.
I know the Sixers added Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III, but they've had some problems as of late. How do you interpret the Sixers' problems right now?
Well, to me, the whole Sixers, and I said this from the beginning, they will go as far as Joel Embiid's going to take them. I love Ben Simmons, and I think he's a very good player. But when Joel Embiid is in shape and playing at his best, he's easily one of the top 10 players in the league, close to being a top five, because no one can stop him inside. He's got great moves, and he can shoot the three. Right now, he has not played at the level he did last year when they went to the Game 7 against Toronto. So it's all, to me, going to come down to him. It's not about him complaining right now, shot selection, I don't know, the offense. The offense is you get as many shots as you want, but you got to put yourself in a position to take good shots, and the other guys will feed off of you. But they've got some time, and I think Elton did a good job with not many assets to go get, adding Burks and Robinson III for shooting, because they need shooting. Everybody's playing zone. But it's going to come down to Joel Embiid. How bad does he want it more than anybody else in that team?
With what Al Horford said the other day about what's going on in the locker room, how legitimate of a concern is that?
It's a concern because, things happen in NBA season and there's always friction. But when a player comes out and says we have stuff going on in the locker room, that concerns me that he would even come out and say it that way. Usually they say, we had a meeting, we've got everything under control. But when he says we have stuff going on in the locker room, that means to tell you that it's been simmering and they've tried to squelch it and it hasn't been done. And maybe by coming out publicly, it puts a little more pressure. They have to do it. But they got a big game tonight against Milwaukee. But right now, they just don't look like a team that enjoys playing with each other right now.
When we see the Sixers right now, as Billy King is my guest, and you heard Broussard say maybe it's a little bit of a jealousy issue between Embiid and Simmons. I agree with you. I think Embiid is the guy for the Sixers. Is Ben's attitude a problem in your mind?
I don't think it's Ben's attitude. I think Ben would like Joel to do exactly what I said, be the player that everybody knows he can be. And I think that's probably frustrating Ben a little more. But I don't think Ben has an attitude. I think Ben has played harder this year and done a better job on defense. His turnover's still up, but I think he's in focus almost all year. And the one thing about Ben, he rarely misses a game, so he comes to play every night. So I think he's just maybe frustrated with Joel right now.
The real thing that's still mystifying to me, and you see all these videos in the summer, and I don't put a lot of stock in the videos, but he kind of gives that indication that he was going to shoot more from three this year, and we're not really seeing that being the case. I think that's a big-time problem because it in the postseason. Yes, he could drive, but teams are not going to really press him on the perimeter. They're going to lay off of him like last year, and I think that's problematic. What is it at this stage of his career why Ben hasn't really shown that much progress in shooting the basketball?
I go back to Jason Kidd. Jason wasn't known to take he took more shots than Ben from outside, but he wasn't known for shooting. I think the bigger issue for Ben is the free throw line, because late in the game, he's got to want the ball and attack and not be a...
I think we lost Billy King. If so, that's all right. Billy King here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We have him back. Billy, continue on Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but I think his big thing is the free throw shooting more than the three-point shooting, because at the end of the game, he needs to have the ball in his hands and attacking and putting pressure on people. If he's afraid to get fouled because he's got to shoot free throws, then that hurts him more than a three-point shot, in my opinion.
All right, two more for Billy King before we let him run. What the Cavs did getting Andre Drummond, I know he has a player option at the end of the year. They didn't really give up much to get him. What do you think the thinking is behind that move with the Cavs to get Andre Drummond?
I really don't understand it. Maybe it's just to take a look at him and see if they want to sign him because they will have his bird rights. And so that, to me, must where they're looking at it and seeing is he someone they want in the future because, you know, free agency-wise, not a lot of people want to be attracted to go there. So the thinking must be, let's take a look at him. If we like him, great. If not, then we didn't give up much to get him.
And before we let you run, if Leon Rose is the move that James Dolan is going to make and select him as the next Knicks president, Billy King's reaction is what?
Well, I think Leon is a basketball guy. He has great connections with players, owners, GMs. And now for him, and with that title as president, it's about building a staff that can help him, cap people, scouts, and everything like that. And he knows enough people. So I like Leon. I think if he is the guy, he's not going to be the guy that's, you know, going to dial up all the trades. Let's do this guy. You put a staff together. When I was president, Jim, I wasn't the one that did it all. I had a staff. And so that's what Leon, first thing he's got to do is put a great staff in place and then build a culture that people want to be a part of.
We know this game is all about relationships, and in the NBA, agents have relationships. You, as a former general manager, has relationships. Was it sometimes difficult to separate those relationships to do what is for the betterment of the team?
Well, when you're like Leon going in as a GM now?
Yeah.
It is, but now, the one thing, when he was an agent working for CA, you know, he was basically trying to do everything he could for his clients. Whenever you talked to him, it was like, you know, whether it's Carmelo, Chris Paul, he was doing everything he could for his clients. And now his one client is the Knicks. And so he's not going to do anything to jeopardize his new job. So it'll be, how can I make the Knicks better? And, you know, at times he may upset some people along the way because he's got to tell some friends or former business partners that I can't do that. But I don't think it'll be hard for him to separate. I think Ralph Blake has done it well. Bob Myers obviously has done it well. So it's an easy transition if you understand that, you know, where you get your paycheck from.
Well, hey, say hello to Ange, Allen, Rhea for me. Appreciate the time as always, Billy.
All right, take care. Will do.
Thanks so much. Billy King joining us, 14 after the hour. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I thought a very interesting perspective on the Sixers. He puts a lot of this on Embiid and the health of Embiid. I still think the biggest issue with the Sixers is that Ben Simmons is afraid to shoot the basketball. And I think Ben has an attitude problem as well. I'm not saying it's constant, that attitude problem, but I do think it plays a factor into this. This is Joel Embiid's team. Joel Embiid is the best player on this team. But for the Sixers to reach where they want to be, yes, you need Embiid to be healthy, but I really do believe, and I really do believe that if they want to go as far as possible, they need Ben to start to display the ability that he can knock down the three-point shot. Because until then, they don't have enough offense. And Embiid is someone that could provide a ton of offense. But down the stretch, is he going to be a guy that's going to hit the game-winning shot from three? I don't know. Especially when the game gets moving along and you're a big guy and the beating that he takes and the grinding that he takes and the wear and tear. You need Ben to step up and deliver. And when they lost J.J. Redick and when they lost Jimmy Butler, that's the way I felt going into this season, that the person that had to take the biggest step for the Sixers this season is Ben Simmons, and we're not seeing that right now. All right, we'll take a timeout on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, talking more trade deadline next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
21 after the hour, it's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. I find the dynamic out west with the Lakers and the Clippers very compelling. Because going into the season, I would say a lot of people probably took the Clippers over the Lakers in terms of who would they want to see win a championship. Because I happen to like LeBron James, but a lot of people, they don't want to see LeBron James win another championship. I think it would be fantastic for the sport. You have Anthony Davis there as well. But there's that big brother, little brother dynamic with the Lakers and the Clippers, where the Lakers have the fan base, the Lakers have the respect in L.A., the Clippers are the quote-unquote inferior team in the way that they've been viewed in their franchise's history, and you're seeing a story of really the underdog and the favorite, and even like when we just say underdog and favorite, it's not necessarily as just simple on who you think is better. I'm more so looking at the entire history where it's been little brother and big brother, the whole David and Goliath shtick as well. When I look at the Clippers, though, and D-Ben and Mike, you could tell me if you disagree with me here. The Clippers before the season started, and I still think this way now, I think are the better basketball team. Like, regardless if we look at popularity and fan base size and who's the hotter ticket in L.A., I think the Clippers are a better basketball team if they are healthy with Kawhi, with Paul George, with what they were able to do today, adding Marcus Morris. You have Pat Beverly. I just think the depth of that team, when I look at them, and you see some of the other players on that team like Lou Williams and, you know, I know Isaiah Thomas, it looks like he's going to get bought out. But you see some of the players on this roster, I just think, you know, like even a Patrick Patterson, I just think they're a deeper basketball team. Montrezl Harrell, too, someone that I've always liked at Louisville. That's a team that the roster is just more well-rounded, in my opinion, compared to the Lakers. You agree or disagree with that, Mikey B?
I agree with you. I do think the Clippers have a deeper roster. I think that it's more well-rounded. I think what happened this year is making me maybe lean towards the Lakers, and it sounds sort of obvious, but I think LeBron James is playing rejuvenated, and he's playing up with a purpose. And the other thing is his minutes are at an all-time low right now. So he is, even though the Lakers are a one seed and they're winning games, he's more rested than he's ever been in the past. And that would scare me getting down into the playoffs in May and June when you have a rested LeBron James.
And that's the bizarre part about the NBA season. It's not a sprint. Sometimes we look at sports, oh, it's a sprint. We react day to day on a talk show, on Twitter, and all that. The NBA is such a marathon. And you could tell they don't care about winning the sprints. They care about winning the marathon. And you see the load management. And we saw Kawhi Leonard last year sit out 20-plus games. They win a championship at the Raptors. They get rewarded. So we truly won't know until we see these teams play in the playoffs, because you see a different brand of basketball in the postseason compared to the regular season. And this goes back to with the Warriors and with the Cavs in some of the years where they just didn't care about seeding, because they knew as long as they survived the sprints, the 10, 15 sprints they had to get through in the regular season, if they had a healthy roster going into the playoffs, it didn't matter if you played the game at home, on the road, on Mars, on Saturn, wherever. It didn't matter. As long as they were healthy, they could go on the road and win. They could get the job done because the talent and the team that they had was significantly superior compared to the rest of the league. That didn't mean there weren't some hiccups along the way. We've seen some of those series be close. The Warriors, they're probably biggest challenger in that run. When you look back at it, were the Rockets. And then for the Cavs, you know, they had that one tough series with the Celtics too. If you remember, that did go to a game seven when you had Kyrie out and you also had Gordon Hayward out too, and like a few other potential close series as well. But that really did have a carryover effect into the future years of the NBA. And now in the Western Conference, it's as if it is, and I think it is, a two-team race. And we're going to see how they're going to weather this storm throughout the entire year. But I think a lot of people were rooting for the Clippers before the year started, if it was between the Clippers and the Lakers. Now, and I don't know if this is necessarily the case. This is just the way that I feel. With what happened with Kobe Bryant and the fact that the Clippers, you know, we just saw Kawhi Leonard have that great run with the Raptors. I know he's on a different team. With what happened with Paul George, it could discourage some
how he was on a team, re-signed, then gets traded. I know you could play the other thing. Well, what about Anthony Davis? He forced his way out as well. But with the Kobe Bryant factor in it, I look at the Lakers now as a team that I would actually want to see win a championship. Going into the year, you know, I happen to like LeBron. I would not have cared if LeBron, I would have been annoyed if LeBron won a championship. But now, post the Kobe Bryant situation, I think it would be a very neat story if this was the year where the Lakers get a championship here with LeBron, with AD, and the rest of their roster, too. And, you know, there was a lot of rumors about Kyle Kuzma, too, at the trade deadline, and he didn't get traded. So you always wonder that, too, when you have a young player and you hear all these trade rumors, how does that affect them mentally, too? But do you agree with that, Mike and D-Ben? Since the Kobe Bryant situation, you may find more people rooting for the Lakers now compared to the Clippers when you compare it up Lakers and Clippers.
Definitely. And I honestly think they've been more likable all along. The only thing is the Clippers are like this major underdog story. The Lakers are this, you know, traditional NBA franchise juggernaut. Look at the personalities. I don't think that Kawhi and Paul George brings the kind of star power that LeBron and AD did from the beginning.
Yeah, they're quiet superstars.
So I think that I was always kind of rooting for the Lakers out of the two from the beginning.
Oh, wow.
But it would have been amazing to see the Clippers get it done, especially at a time when LeBron came to LA to win and it ends up being the Clippers and Kawhi taking it away from him. That's an undeniably great storyline.
And you know how fans are. Fans are very fickle. And I don't believe the Clippers will ever be as big as the Lakers, just like
no
even
way.
With the Nets here in New York, Mikey, B's Nets, Brooklyn Nets, Brooklyn Nets basketball. But even with the Brooklyn Nets, even if they win, the Knicks are still always going to be the main attraction in town, even though the Knicks have been awful for the longest time. But you know fans, how some fans, there's always going to be that hardcore Knicks fan, that hardcore Nets fan, that hardcore Lakers fan, that hardcore Clippers fan. But when you're in such a big city, there's so many fans that just go, oh, it's a party in the city. Oh, I'll go with whoever wins. You know, I'll root for both the Mets and the Yankees. I'll root for both the Lakers and the Clippers. And I think it would be very interesting to see. You still know the Lakers are the hot ticket. And the Lakers are the big product. But if the Clippers won this year, what that would do for the dynamic in LA and maybe how many fans then start rooting for the Clippers over Lakers. I don't think it's a drastic shift, but you will gain some more fans because everyone loves winning and people don't mind jumping on a bandwagon.
Yeah, winning, you know, that'll do everything. And also, I was just thinking as you were talking about that and thinking about the NBA, and we were talking about, we got the Lakers, we got the Clippers in the West. Those are the two teams. And then in the East, it seems like we just have the Milwaukee Bucks. This whole narrative in the offseason with the NBA was, all right, the Warriors are gone, it's wide open.
Yeah.
And it's like, here we are on February 6th, and we have three teams that can win the title. I mean, it's kind of like, that's
that
it.
I'll push back with you on that, and I do believe right now the Bucks are going to the NBA Finals. Since we haven't seen them do it before, like it's different with the Lakers and the Clippers. LeBron is LeBron. We know, even though AD has never really had much success in the playoffs, AD and LeBron, that's a dominant duo. LeBron has won championships before. Kawhi Leonard entering this season was the best player in the sport. He's won two championships in his lifetime, two finals MVP. We know what he's capable of. And he adds Paul George into that fold. That's such a big-time dynamic duo as well. With the Eastern Conference with the Bucks, we haven't seen their main players in Giannis Antetokounmpo and also Chris Middleton get to the top of that mountain. They had to overcome some adversity last year, and they were a really good team last year, and they came up short. So at least still in the East, I agree with you. In the West, if it's someone other than the Lakers or Clippers, I'll be stunned. Stunned. But in the East, I would not be terribly surprised if you told me a team like the Celtics or the Heat, or if the Sixers get their act together, if they're in the finals. I do lean towards the Bucks. There's a little more intrigue in the East because even though I love Giannis Antetokounmpo, we have not seen him in a finals yet.
And I think that's what makes the 76ers even more depressing from a national standpoint.
Because there was a path.
This is a path. It's here. You guys figure it out in the locker room. You have the talent to win a title. It's Milwaukee and everybody else right now. So as I'm a 76er fan, I'm going, come on. This is the year we can get to the NBA Finals. let's figure this out and put our egos to the side.
You know, have a cupcake party and get everyone on the same page. Cupcakes always solve problems with everybody. Maybe Brett Brown should bring some cupcakes into the locker room. Not the KD and Russell Westbrook type of cupcakes, but maybe you bring in some cupcakes into the locker room with like a little vanilla frosting, some pink frosting, a little chocolate frosting, and everyone gets on the same page and they sing Kumbaya and everything's, you know, working out for the Sixers.
76er season saved, cupcakes in locker room.
I think, or, you know, maybe a little Philly pretzels or some cheesesteaks. You know, that usually, when, you know, when I would have a bad day and I lived in Philadelphia, you give me a cheesesteak and I'm all good. Maybe that's what solves the issues with the Sixers. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons just need to eat more cheesesteaks. And maybe Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons could talk it over, you know, with the Shirley Temple. As we all know, Embiid used to love those Shirley Temples too. I just saw that the All-Star starters were announced. They're doing the draft right now. Team LeBron, well, is obviously LeBron, AD, Kawhi, Luka Doncic, and James Harden. For Team Giannis, it's Giannis, Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Trae Young, and then also Kemba Walker. Team LeBron. Am I the only one there that looks at Team LeBron and thinks it's better than Team Giannis just based off the starters right now?
Yeah, and it's the Western Conference All-Stars, right? I mean, that's I like how this broke down kind of East and West. It's what the game should be anyway, in my opinion. The players just kind of did it themselves this time.
Yeah, that doesn't really bother me. I can't get fired up over the All-Star game. I don't even care about the Sunday festivities. The thing that I care about is the Saturday. I always loved as a kid, and it's like the one All-Star game event that I still love. And even though it disappoints a lot of years, the slam dunk contest, the three-point shot, the skills competition, do they still do when they bring out, you know, a legend of the past, you know, someone from the local WNBA team and then a current player, and they do the shots across the court and they had the half-court shot at the end? You remember that, right, Mike?
Yeah, I do. I think the skills competition took over for that, I want to say.
But I'm not easy on that then.
I'm not 100% positive, but I believe that took its place.
But that's the one event that out of all the All-Star games in sports, that night I still enjoy, and people still find a way to complain about
totally
it.
Totally agree. I'm with you. But isn't it easy, like more easy to watch an All-Star game when you just like understand why the players are on each team rather than just this random draft that and then they're wearing random
uniforms?
Fair. You don't know why anyone's playing with anyone else?
I just personally cannot get fired up over any All-Star game. The players play no defense. They don't care. So for me, you know, they could put nine players on the East on one side and then like two on the West. You know, it just doesn't bother me anymore. That's just me, though. But I really hope that we get a good slam dunk contest and a good and a good three-point contest as well. I haven't really looked at the rosters yet. I saw Dwight Howard. I was doing the slam dunk contest, so maybe we'll get a little Superman action once again, which, you know, how many times are you going to put Dwight Howard out there? Started to turn into Nate Robinson. Remember with Nate Robinson and all those small man dunk moves as well. And it was 1 year he shouldn't have won, and he won when he missed like a dunk. Must have been 13, 14 times or whatever it is. All right, we'll take a timeout when we come back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's not surprising that Antonio Brown did speak today, but it was surprising where he did speak. We'll tell you about that when we return.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Coming up at the top of the hour, former Super Bowl MVP Phil Simms will join us, coming off his performance of 20 pull-ups on Inside the NFL on Showtime. This is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mikey B., real quickly, give me the skills competition for this year's All-Star game. Who are the participants?
All right. For the skills participants, we've got Bam Adebayo with Miami, Patrick Beverley with the Clips, Spencer Dinwiddie in Brooklyn, Chris Middleton, Milwaukee, D. Rose, Detroit, DeMontis Sabonis, Indiana, Pascal Siakam, Toronto, and Jason Tatum, Boston.
For some reason, I think Sabonis, Siakam, or Tatum will find a way to win.
Okay.
I know you're going to be going with Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yes, I will be. Won it 2 years ago.
So that's the skills. All right, how about the three? And by the way, the All-Star game is Sunday, February 16th. It's Team LeBron, Team Giannis. You can watch it on TNT. The night before, it's the skills, the three-point contest, and the slam dunk. Those are the three that I really care about. And we'll give it to you one more time if you're just getting into your car, just listening to us. The All-Star Game starters for Team LeBron, Bron, AD, Kawhi, Luka, Harden. For Giannis, Embiid, Siakam, Trae Young, and Kemba Walker. So what's the three-point contest looking like?
All right, Bertans in Washington, Devontae Graham, Charlotte, Joe Harris, last year's champion with Brooklyn, Buddy Hield, Sacramento, Zach LaVine, Chicago, Damian Lillard, Portland, Duncan Robinson, Miami, and Trae Young in Atlanta.
So the two big names there are Lillard and Young. Those are the two that people are going to root for. It's a shame that we don't have Steph and we don't have Klay in it this year, obvious, because of the injuries. And the slam dunk this year, Aaron Gordon, Dwight Howard, and who are the other two?
Pat Connington in Milwaukee and Derek Jones Jr. in Miami.
Who could fly, by the way.
Yeah, he is dirty in the air.
He's
super
either
cool.
Going to be boom or bust. That's what's going to happen with him. Is Dwight Howard going to be fun? Or is that just a tired act at this point?
I think it's going to be tough to watch. I don't think it's going to be great.
Yeah, the names for the three-point contest and also for the slam dunk, even though I watch it each and every year, it doesn't make me have to change my plans that night to do it. Like, if I have something good going on Saturday, like, I'll be at a bar or, you know, I'll watch it on my phone or something. You know, if I'm at a restaurant having a nice fine dinner, you know, I'll try to sneak out and watch it a little bit, but I don't think you really have to alter your plans if you're not like in this business or something. You can watch the highlights even too, or DVR it. It's there's not really those names for the dunk. Come on, they got to get Zion Williamson in there.
Yeah, you really need
he
the name.
He won't names. Do it. He said at the draft that he's not going to do it.
And that's the problem with the dunk contest. If it's not a big name, and I think people are a little jaded because they've seen every dunk possible now, really. I mean, because if you look back at these contests, pre-Vince Carter, the dunks weren't even that great, but everybody got into it. But now you've seen everything, so it's a little bit jaded. I found the three-point contest to actually be more entertaining and exciting the last couple of years because at least you have a competition and you know, like, all right, he's got to make two more to beat that number. With the dunk, you're kind of just like waiting around for him to dunk, and then you see it. You go, oh, that was cool.
And a lot of times they overhype the dunk and they make the dunk to be a 50 when it's not really a 50. It's more as if it's a 45, a 44. I'll give you three names, and these are the obvious ones. Give me another name. We'd love to see Zion in the dunk contest. We'd love to see LeBron in the dunk contest. I know he's done it in the past, but I would like to see Giannis now with his stardom and fame in the dunk contest. I give you Zion, LeBron, and Giannis in the dunk contest. Who is that extra name that you have to put in and you say, we need that person in the dunk contest? Any response?
That's a good question.
I'm putting you on the spot right there. Would you take any of the four that are in this dunk contest right now?
I want to see Jones Jr. I know he's not a name, but I mean, he's a high flyer. I think he'd be fun. You know, it'd be cool to see dunk would be Ja Morant.
Oh, that's a great one.
He'd be cool.
That's a great one. So if you gave me a dunk contest this year of Zion, LeBron, Giannis, and Ja Morant, you would alter your plans, and that would be the event of All-Star Weekend. You imagine what the buzz would be like for Zion, LeBron, Giannis, and Ja Morant?
That'd be cool.
If you just give me two of those names, give me the four one more time for this year's dunk contest. Gordon, Connington.
Howard and Derek Jones.
Howard and Derek Jones. So let's just say you do, because LeBron's not going to do it again. He's never done it, so he's not going to do it at this point. You know, Giannis has already done in the past, so I'll give him a pass. You give me Zion, Ja Morant, Connaughton, and then also Jones Jr. That gives you a reason to watch. Gordon, did you see his interview too, by the way, with Shaq and all those guys?
Yeah.
He was feeling himself.
He looked like he had a nice day.
Yeah, he was feeling some type of way.
He was up for it.
Yes. And then Shaq just keep on making certain references about maybe a certain product. Wasn't there like a weed whacker line that Shaquille O'Neal said?
Right, going home to mow the weeds.
Yeah. So that was not a great look for Gordon. He looked a little sleepy, if you know what I'm saying. But you never know. You can never assume.
I mean, being high will help him in the dunk contest.
Yeah. If he gets up high, that would be a good thing. I think you may want to word that a little bit differently. You said being high would help him in the dunk contest. I got what you were saying. You meant
off the ground,
up high,
yeah, not, elevated. You know,
yeah. You didn't word that the best way, Tom.
I wonder why. I wonder why.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to Antonio Brown. I'm not surprised that AB's talking. I was surprised that AB was talking on one of our great affiliates, and they do a great job with Colin and with Jim. We have Colin on all the time. The guy is very talented at what he does, and he's never afraid to give his opinion. I'm just surprised that AB picked a local radio station to do an interview. I think it's very cool, especially in Pittsburgh, too. You hear how many times people reach out to him to try to do interviews, and he tweets back at them, "I'm not going on like your little platform, your little show." But this was Antonio Brown on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh talking about some of his incidents with the police.
How are you going to get respect from people, though, AB, when you're on Instagram dog cussing the police on your front door? You know what I'm saying? Listen.
A lot of things people judge me off reacting in a certain way, but people don't know why I react a certain way of what I've been through. You know, you never know what a person's been through to react the way they react. So do you know I ran from the police for 30, 40 minutes, then called someone to come talk to the police at FIU University when I went to that school?
No, I don't know that, but I know that. Exactly. Don't you think that sometimes not everybody's out to get you, AB?
No, listen. I'm not saying no one out to get me, sir. You're not listening. The police was at my house to help me from someone trying to take something from me, sir. It took 1 hour. I'm not making an excuse. I could have reacted in a positive way. But you understand when people try to be negative and take stuff from you all the time. You ever know what it's like for someone to try to sue you, to say they want to take money from you because of the position you're in? You ever been in the position where someone write articles about you and the world takes it and run with it? You can't even defend yourself. So people don't understand the situation that I've been in. Is it an excuse for my emotional negative reaction? No, there's no excuse for it. But when you don't understand what a person, even like I was in Pittsburgh, the police pulled me over the game of the Thursday night game versus Carolina. I was going to a meeting. They pulled me over and said, "Hey, AB, you speeding. You're going too fast, XYZ, you were the bank robbery suspect."
My man, you were going 100 miles an hour on McKnight Road.
Come on, sir. The traffic light signs don't even allow you to go that fast, bro. It's a light on every stop in McKnight. That's what I'm saying. I'm always the person painting and putting the wrong light based off the position I'm in. So that's what I'm saying. So let's be fair. Let's treat everyone fairly. Didn't you just guys have Juju Smith-Schuster in the car doing 100 miles per hour? Did you guys pull him over? No. He put it on video. Did anything happen? No. But when Antonio Brown in that position, it's all over the news. I don't have no disrespect for police. I apologize to police for my emotional reaction. But Colin, I'm trying to put you in the mind state to understand the position I'm in.
All right, I've heard enough. He's so lost still. I know there's times in the interview, and I heard the entire interview. You can go check it out on 93.7's website. They do a great job in Pittsburgh. Big fan of all those guys from mornings to even nights. But, I understand at times in the interview, when you listen to it, you're like, okay, he seems a little bit contrite. But any time he starts to apologize, like even like he apologized to Steelers, I'm not making any excuses, but I'm going to go make an excuse. That's what he does. You're the problem right now, AB. You need to take accountability. There's one thing to say sorry, but then you go, "Oh, well, I wasn't going 100 miles an hour, but the police just pulled me over because I was Antonio Brown." No, the police pulled you over because you were speeding. It's that simple. And then he goes, "Yeah, I'm not making excuses, but Juju Smith-Schuster, he was going 100 miles an hour. Why didn't he get pulled over?" The police always don't see everybody that's going 100 miles per hour. It depends on where they're located. And if you're going 100 miles per hour past a police officer, I can guarantee you, if Juju Smith-Schuster went 100 miles per hour past the police officer, he would have got pulled over. Just like when Kareem Hunt was speeding. He got pulled over. And the police officer was actually lenient with Kareem Hunt. So right now, AB's going on this apology tour. The question is, how long does it last and what are his true motives? Is he actually contrite? Is he actually going to change? Or in a split second, will he be this mercurial AB and it'll be the complete antithesis of what we're seeing right now? I don't have a lot of confidence that this is going to have a happy ending. I actually think AB is never going to play in the National Football League ever again. But hey, we'll have to wait and see. He's a talented player. Phil Simms is going to join us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.